These are, in some ways, such strange times, and for many, difficult times. And I've had many people ask me over and over, why is God allowing this to happen? I'm starting to lose my faith. I don't know what to believe in anymore. And so it's ironic, in thinking about that, I was reading a little article about a man named David Bowden. Maybe some of you know who I'm talking about, but he's more commonly known as Pope Michael, and he lives in Atchison, Kansas. And Pope Michael was a seminarian for the Society of Pius X, and he left that society and joined an off-branch society. Then, being dissatisfied with that society, they formed another society and formed an off-branch of that. And then he left that altogether. And after leaving that, he found a rogue bishop who had also left several societies to ordain him to the episcopacy. He received priesthood and episcopacy and one ordination in his parents' parlor in 2011. And he decided that the See of St. Peter was empty. So he said there hasn't been a legitimate pope since Pius XII because they've all been in error. So he called his own conclave, and the conclave included, he invited many people evidently, but the conclave included three of his neighbors and both of his parents. And surprisingly, they elected him pope. And he took the name Pope Michael, and he reigns from outside of Atchison, Kansas. Now, how are we supposed to figure out that? The world is crazy. The church is constant. And so I'm always telling people, go back to what the church teaches you. Go back to what the church reveals. When we celebrate Catholic Mass, Father Mark and I pray for Pope Francis, not Pope Michael. So sometimes we think things are coming unhinged when really they're all going according to God's plan. People say, why doesn't God, it's good to pray for an end to the pandemic and for a respite and for a healing. And people say, why doesn't God do it? He certainly could if he wanted to, and that's true. The Book of Wisdom tells us that in the first reading. God has might, but he holds it back. Why does he hold it back? So that as many as possible may come to repentance. That's a thought. Could God be using what's going on in our world to bring us to repentance, to bring us to faith? Ironically enough, with the same people that I hear asking me about, you know, their distrust in God, I have people coming to me saying, I feel like more than ever I need God. Can you help me, Father? I'm not a Catholic. I'm not even a Christian. Can you help me, Father? And so oftentimes there's a beautiful opportunity to share the faith. And so if you feel like you're having a difficult time, there's a lot of uncertainties, right? A lot of us don't know. Father Mark and I kind of have secure jobs, but a lot of you don't know if you're going to have a job in 2 or 3 weeks. We really don't know how Carroll College is going to open. What is that going to look like exactly? We're doing the best we can to get there and to try to make plans for everything, but we really don't know. So we're only left with this solution, really, that will bring us peace: trust in God. No matter what happens, we have to trust in God. Now, sometimes it seems like the story, Jesus is asleep on the boat and there's a storm, and the disciples wake the Lord and say, why aren't you doing anything? And his point isn't, oh, thank goodness you woke me so I can stop the storm in time. No. Oh, ye of little faith, you did not trust. And with one word, the storm stops. Do we have that kind of faith in God? St. John Vianney, a great priest from France, a priest, wrote these words, and I think they're really relevant for our time. In life's most painful moments, sickness, heartbreak, disappointment, betrayal, all these are actually moments of tremendous grace and blessing. Do you feel like you're going through any painful moments? Is there any sickness, heartbreaks, disappointments, betrayals? The saint says these are meant to be tremendous grace and blessings. We have to begin to see God working through the struggle so that we can have peace in the storm. It's critical. And sometimes we get to the end of our rope and we really don't know what to pray for. Should I pray for the end of the pandemic? What should I pray for? St. Paul gives us the words, when you don't know what to pray for, the Spirit will pray in you and through you. Simply trust in God. Inexpressible groanings is how it's interpreted. God will pray in you and through you to bring about His will. But more so than ever, He's asking for a trust. And some people are also complaining. Father, I feel like my prayers go nowhere. I'm tired of praying. I don't know what to pray for. I just keep doing it, but I don't know if I can keep going. All more so, we need to keep going. I was reading earlier this week from servant of God, Elizabeth Lesueur, a French laywoman. And she once wrote, I believe that no humble, unknown act or thought seen by God alone is lost at all. In fact, they contribute to the good of others. I believe, according to the saying, when we do good, we know not how much good we do. So by all means, do not stop praying now. Even if it seems hopeless or you're tempted to despair, now is the time more than ever to deepen our trust, to repent if we need to draw to the Lord and trust. So we have the great parable this evening, the parable of the wheat and the tares, or the weeds and the wheat. And so it starts off, Jesus says, the kingdom of heaven can be likened to a man. And I think that's a real key line to consider, that the kingdom of heaven isn't likened to this story. The kingdom of heaven is likened to a man. Pope Benedict once wrote, the kingdom is likened from this passage, first and foremost, not to the seed or the field, but to the man who sowed good seed. Jesus himself is what we call heaven. The kingdom of heaven can be likened to Jesus. Heaven is not a place, but a person. And we go to heaven and enter into heaven to the extent we go to Jesus Christ and enter into him. End quote. If we're going to survive this, we must come to Jesus in trust, in humility, in hope, knowing that he has a plan. So it seems to me that, of course, you know, hopefully we're the wheat and not the weeds, but the weeds grow up with us. And the enemy has come to, has sown the weeds, and we grow together. And the first reaction is, get rid of all the weeds, get rid of all the tares. They're ruining everything. If God would just get them out. And the Lord says, no, it's not time yet. This is necessary. They'll grow together until the harvest. Because if you get them out too soon, it will ruin the wheat too. So maybe the weeds are there to make us be better wheat, to keep us wheat, and to get us ready to be gathered into the master's barn. There's two ways we can look at it. The temptation is to do this. You're struggling because of the people around you, the weeds around you, or the circumstances around you. And you're saying, oh, this person and that person, and this person in power, and that person who doesn't get it, and all those people over there, and this group of people over here, they are dragging me down. I wish God would just get rid of them. And the Lord is saying, if I get rid of them, you won't grow to fruition. They have to remain. So what is our other option? If you are wheat, then you're growing. You're growing toward the kingdom of heaven. So you have received nourishment. We receive heaven itself. We receive the Eucharist. We receive all that we need to be nurtured. And so instead of looking around at the weeds, maybe we can just be who we are and be thankful that we are given what we need to grow. We ultimately have faith, a supernatural virtue. You have everything you need to grow. So now is the time not to make excuses, but to plant yourself firmly in your faith and grow. And what are you growing toward? You're growing toward Jesus Christ. He is heaven. In some ways, we can already say that we get a glimpse of heaven at every Mass when we receive the Lord, when we actually gaze upon the Lord. So if you want to go to heaven, ready yourself well for this Eucharist. Be thankful that you are wheat and that you are growing. Don't worry about the weeds. Give them to God. Persevere in prayer. Remember, they are there to bring about God's grace and blessing for you. It's not an easy lesson. It's not a fun thing to preach, but it is the truth. It is the truth of our Lord. It is the truth of the gospel. So be at peace, not as the world gives, but as the Lord gives. Heaven is with us. And if we root ourselves firmly as disciples of that person, Jesus, who is our heaven, then we will grow. And then good things will begin to happen. And we'll begin to see beyond all the trials and circumstances and uncertainties that God has a purpose and plan. And if we stay strong and walk clearly in that path, his words and his promises will come to fruition for me, for you, and for all of us.